And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And hello, everyone. Michael's off. Brian in. Brian Sussman, Michael's friend, broadcasting here from the left coast at Michael's flagship station, KSFO. It's always a great honor, joy, privilege to get behind this microphone. I love hearing from you. The phone number, of course, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Don't forget, as we set the table, michaelsavage.com. In a few minutes, I'll go through all the headlines at michaelsavage.com. There is so much going on this Monday. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to the Savage newsletter by going to michaelsavage.com. And you can order the latest book, Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human. We had Michael on my local program in San Francisco last week to talk about this book. Can I just tell you something? It's a good summer read. It's about Michael and his dog and some of the crazy things that have happened to Michael and the dog Teddy along the way. And truly, Michael is Teddy's service human. And I've had the opportunity to meet Teddy, and Teddy is a pretty cool dog. Now, let's get to it, shall we? Don't forget also Dr. Savage on Facebook, Twitter, at A Savage Nation. And I'll be tweeting throughout the course of the program as well. So I want to ask you this question, just for starters. Do you believe that by almost every measure, America and the world are better today than 8 years ago? This is what Barack Obama is telling these numbskulls at Rutgers University. I mean, if they buy it, they're numbskulls. If they rebuffed it, okay, they got something between the ears. So this is a commencement address at Rutgers in New Jersey. Barack Obama told the graduates, the good old days weren't that good. Oh, really? The good old days weren't that good. And he says, both America and the world now are better than they were even 8 years ago. So he says, under his watch, America and the world, better than they were 8 years ago. And we're going to listen to some sound. We'll break it down. We'll hear what Mr. Obama had to say. But, again, in the last 8 years, do you think things have gotten better? How have they gotten better if they have at all? I just want to know. What's changed? What's changed? This is amazing that he would say this. Let's listen to a portion of this. Let's see here. How about, we've got a bunch of clips. Let's go ahead and talk about clip number three for starters. This is Mr. Obama.
Meanwhile, in the 8 years since most of you started high school, we're also better off. You and your fellow graduates are entering the job market with better prospects than any time since 2007. 20 million more Americans know the financial security of health insurance. We're less dependent on foreign oil. We've doubled the production of clean energy. We have cut the high school dropout rate. We've cut the deficit by two-thirds. Marriage equality is the law of the land.
And, of course, everybody cheers. So let's break this down. And I know you'll want to call in and participate in the discussion, as you always do, on the Savage Nation. Because the Savage Nation is made up of very keen individuals who pay attention to the news, and they've got it down. So he just told these kids at Rutgers that they're going to graduate with better prospects for work than any time since 2007. I'm wondering what statistics he's looking at, because all I have to do is go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and I see the real unemployment number. But beyond that, I look at the number of people that could be participating in the job market and aren't. These are people who could be working and would likely like to be working, but they're not. 95 million people, that's a record. How many people do we know graduate college, and they end up, if they're lucky, getting a job as a barista at Star Chuck's? How many people do we have doing that? How many people actually get to go to work in the field in which they want to work? Now, listen, if you're an engineer, hey, there's some great opportunities out there. If you've got a math degree, great opportunities. But for others, let's just look at broadcasting these days. Get a degree in journalism. I went to the University of Missouri. Coming out of the University of Missouri, back when I was a kid, long time ago, everybody got a job. What's it like now? Not everybody gets a job in the field in which they wish. What's it like for, see, this is what Trump has tapped into. This is what Trump has tapped into, and to some measure, Bernie. There are people in this country who don't have the job they'd like to have. Look what's happening. Donald Trump, for such a time as this, he's tapped into something. All of these union guys, who are without work, all of these union guys who don't have the job they used to have, all of these guys who aren't making as much money as they used to make, they see Trump and they say, yes, I like this. Our jobs are being shipped overseas. This is what he's tapped into. Then on the other hand, you have a Hillary. Oh, you'll hear what Hillary has to say about the Coleys in West Virginia. She's now trying to kiss their rear ends, trying to make good for those comments she made where she said they're going to be without jobs. What are they going to do, Hillary? They're going to be solar installers? Is that what they're going to be doing? They're certainly not going to be manufacturing solar panels because we do that dirty work, and it is dirty work, in China. But I digress, as I often do. I only got through Obama's first point. So he says better job prospects than any time since 2007. He also said 20 million more Americans know the financial security of health insurance. The financial security of health insurance. Well, let me ask you this. How many millions more people had their health premiums rise because of Obamacare? See, they liked the plan that they had, but, oh, I forgot, they're not allowed to keep the plan they had because he lied and their premiums went through the roof. Or how about the young people, and maybe even not so young, who say, screw it, I don't want health care. It's my choice. I don't want to do it. And upon filing their taxes, realize, what? I've got to pay what kind of fine? Are you kidding me? That's point number two. Then he says we're less dependent on foreign oil. Well, that is true. That actually is true. But why? Because of the oil that we're drilling on private land, not government land, private land. And we continue. We've doubled the production of clean energy. Clean energy. Well, clean energy, I guess so. But those dirty solar panels are being manufactured in China, not here in the United States. We've got lots of fossil... Oh, and by the way, every time you... And I'm not totally against solar and wind. Let me just tell you, okay? There are applications that are actually pretty cool. But most of these installations are absolute financial boondoggles, and early investors get their money back. You know who else likes it? Oh, the fossil fuel companies. Because every time you see a solar plant, guess what? There's a huge hookup to natural gas or coal to back it up. Dirty little secret no one wants to talk about. He also went on to say, we have cut the high school dropout rate. Well, I think it depends how you count it. If you count the kids entering their freshman year who drop out, those usually aren't counted in the statistics. I'm talking to you from the San Francisco Bay Area. The San Francisco Bay Area, where we've got full employment. The San Francisco Bay Area, home of tech. The San Francisco Bay Area, where virtually all the apps on your phone come from. As well as Apple and Facebook and Microsoft has a big plan out here. They've all got plans of Twitter, Google. They're all out here. We got virtually full employment. But can I tell you something? Some of the high schools in the Bay Area, oh, they brag about the fact that their dropout rate is only 40%. Oh, yeah, it's really good, Obama. Really, really good. And, of course, he goes on to talk about the deficit that he's cut by two-thirds, and yet these guys are still spending more money than I could possibly count. And marriage equality is the law of the land. Hey, oh, yes, well, I have to clap for that, otherwise I'm a hater. Ah, these comments literally defy reality. Defy reality. In fact, Al's checking in. WABC. Al, you are first up on this, The Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in. Hello.
Hi, how you doing? You know, I'm in New Jersey, but I live partially in Pennsylvania. And when I go to the Bethlehem Steel Plant and I look at that plant, they've made it into almost like a historical site. You get to walk along the length of these walkways. And you know what? I don't sit there and look at it and say it's something to be proud of. I think it's a shame because looking at that plant rust, all the jobs that are gone in that plant that people work, Bethlehem Steel is an example. So if Hillary wants to sit there and talk about the coal mining industry, maybe what Hillary ought to do is take a visit to that plant. And if she thinks that that place is something to be proud of as an historical site, well, you know what they built alongside of it? The Sands Casino. Nothing against the Sands Casino. But you know what? Casinos don't make jobs. Steel plants do. And when we look at steel plants missing in this country and she wants to get rid of the coal mining industry, she's got to go. I think Trump should win. I want Trump to win. And I think if we put Hillary in there or Bernie Sanders or all these professional politicians, we are a doomed country. And if we don't see that, and you know what? I said to someone when I was walking along that plant, the Bethlehem Steel plant in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, I said, do you see the sadness in this? I mean,
right.
look at it, the rust. It's rust
way
out there. The buildings are collapsing. it's nothing to be proud of.
It's nothing to be proud of, and yet those were symbols of American ingenuity, American know-how, America workability, hardworking Americans putting their time into those mills. I know just what you're talking about, Al, and I appreciate you calling to this, the Savage Nation. There was a brief period of time when I lived in Pittsburgh. I worked for KDKA Television, which was a fine television operation, but I saw the same thing. I would look at all these old steel plants rusting, and I would talk to some of the guys who had proud jobs in the mill, and there were generations of guys who worked in these mills, and they were gone. Why are they gone? It's because of our environmental laws. Now we're fabricating so much of this, some of this steel in China, and it's substandard. Oh, I got stories I could tell you about this bridge we just built in San Francisco. The most expensive bridge in the history of the world, and it's a known fact that the steel in that bridge, the fabrication process, was absolute crap because it's made in China. That's a mainstream news story out here. The $12 billion bridge, made with junk, made with absolute junk. Anyway, we're going to talk about this. I absolutely can't wait. We'll open up the lines, continue to hear from you. Brian Sussman on a Monday, filling in for Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
Suggesting that we can build an endless wall along our borders and blame our challenges on immigrants, that doesn't just run counter to our history as the world's melting pot. It contradicts the evidence that our growth and our innovation and our dynamism has always been spurred by our ability to attract strivers from every corner of the globe. That's how we became America. Why would we want to stop it now?
And the mind's full of mush roar. That's Obama at Rutgers. Brian Sussman filling in on this, the Savage Nation. Don't forget, michaelsavage.com. We'll tell you what's on that website because there are some incredible stories. But this is an incredible story. This is Obama at Rutgers. Obama at Rutgers. Suggesting that, quote, building an endless wall along our borders, blaming our challenges as immigrants, that doesn't just run counter to our history as the world's melting pot. It contradicts the evidence. He, of course, has taken a shot across the bow at Donald Trump. Listen, the wall is really just an icon of what needs to be fixed in this country. I mean, you want some quotes on this? I could find many, but let's just do a more recent quote from the last, you know, bunch of decades, and that would be Ronald Reagan, who wisely said, quote, a nation that cannot control its borders is not a nation. Then you got John Kerry out there saying, it's a borderless world, or something like that. That's crazy. That's the setup for a dictator. But the bottom line is, you look at what's happened with our immigration system, illegal immigration system. See how Obama cleverly does this to these kids who are just learning how to think, if they can think at all? Quote, suggesting that we can build an endless wall along our borders and blame our challenges on immigrants. It's not a wall to keep people in, it's a wall to keep the bad guys out. Because remember what Trump always says, and there'll be a door. In other words, people will be allowed in legally. And we don't blame our challenges on immigrants, but we are blaming them on illegal. Well, I take that back. Because you look at these people coming in with amnesty, right? The youngsters coming into this country with amnesty. You know, the youngsters with beards. Oh, how old are you? 17, the person says in another language. Oh, okay, well, we believe you. The person coming into this country with these strange tattoos on their neck that say MS-13. Oh, come on in, that's fine. I mean, we're letting in all sorts, and it's all an honor system type deal, folks. No identification needed, let alone the people we're bringing in from Syria who cannot properly be vetted because they don't have proper identification, but they've got a birth certificate. Well, yeah, and that was just made 3 months ago back home. It's somebody else's information. I mean, this is what's happening. But just looking beyond that for a moment, looking beyond that, and you see what's happening. You look at the diseases, and Savage wrote a book on this. You can go to michaelsavage.com and read about this. Centers for Disease Control. I mean, you look at the third world diseases that are now found in the United States of America. tuberculosis, that paralysis-causing mellitus, dengue fever, swine flu, all sorts of crazy things like this that we thought were gone. We thought were gone. Now, what's interesting is, it's a fascinating article I'm reading here at Front Page Mag about two patriotic U.S. government employees working for the Center for Disease Control, okay? And there have been some emails discovered between these two, and they're talking about how the Obama administration was trying to cover up the concentration camp-like facilities in which it was detaining these unaccompanied alien children, the UACs as they're known. And in this exchange between these two guys at the CDC, one said to the other, quote, "No country in the world would allow Obama's massive influx of unwanted foreigners." And then another says, and guess what? In 10 years or less, they'll all be voting. Oh, it's the truth, my friends. It is the truth. We'll be talking about that here on the Savage Nation. I look forward to hearing from you. Of course, the phone number 855-400-SAVAGE. We do have some callers on hold, but it would not be fair to go to your calls at this time. So in the next segment, we will do just that. And we'll talk about other interesting stuff in the news today, because there's a lot of it, including the Donald and the New York Times and former girlfriends who have been smeared. Oh, we'll get into it all. Brian Sussman filling in on this, The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage taking a much-needed day off. Brian Sussman filling in. Savage is back tomorrow. Don't forget michaelsavage.com. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. And I look forward to hearing from you, 855-400-7282. But before we do that, let me just go to Michael Savage. Callers, just stay on hold. I'm going to get to you. We'll blast through all of your comments in just a moment. Michael Savage and the book. The book. Teddy and me. Confessions of a Service Human. So Teddy is Michael's co-host, the silent co-host. Teddy, the little 12-pound toy poodle. Pretty much with Michael wherever he goes in San Francisco. If you see Michael, you'll see the dog. But this Confessions of a Service Human, it's not one of Michael's political books. It's Confessions of Michael. Touching revelations in book form. It's amazing. You'll get the inside. And it's a departure from politics, and that's why I think, you know, listen, with the politics, you got to admit, you can't drink this stuff 24/7. You'll go cuckoo. You got to take a break. So I encourage you to go to michaelsavage.com and order a copy of this book. It's a nice, fun summer read that, quite frankly, many on the left will even enjoy. But that said, let's get back into the politics of the day, because the speech that Obama gave at Rutgers University this weekend is getting the attention of many. So let's listen to this clip. This will be clip two, but let me just tell you about what's happening here to set it up. Obama's speaking to these kids, saying, you know, if you disagree with somebody, ask them questions. Hold their feet to the fire. He's encouraged them to have a discussion. And maybe it's going to be a hard discussion, but have a discussion. Folks, people on the left never want a discussion. I mean, I've been through this drill for years. Wrote a couple of books on global warming. I don't know if I moved the needle at all, because the other side just doesn't want to hear it. They put their fingers in their ears, they close their eyes, and they shout. They don't want to hear it. But let's take a listen to what Obama has to say in this clip, too, please.
If you disagree with somebody, bring them in and ask them tough questions. Hold their feet to the fire. Make them defend their positions. If somebody's got a bad or offensive idea, prove it wrong. Engage it, debate it, stand up for what you believe in. Don't be scared to take somebody on. Don't feel like you got to shut your ears off because you're too fragile and somebody might offend your sensibilities.
So in other words, he's saying, you know, if you agree with somebody, have a discussion. Well, that's not what he's saying, but it sounds as if he's saying, have a discussion. Except with anthropogenic global warming. Except with transsexuality. Except with bathroom laws. Except with the dark side of Islam. Then you just shout them down. Just call them a hater. Call them a racist. See, that's the problem. The left, they don't want to engage. They want to shout you down. They want to call you names. They don't care what you have to say. And when it comes to defending their positions, they can't. And that's why they result to name calling each and every time. So he's got this kid screaming, hooping, hollering because they've been programmed in college to do that exact same thing. You're a hater. You're a racist. Let us go to Joshua Keyes, Texas, K-E-Y-S, K-E-Y-S in Texas. How you doing, Joshua?
Doing good.
Your comment, please. Go ahead.
Just wanted to say that, you know, Barack Obama, he's on his way out of the White House, and I really feel that he can't appeal to the working class, so he's appealing to these universities, these young kids who are much easier to be indoctrinated, and I feel that he's trying to build his legacy with them so that he can be remembered with them in some way. Because as much negativity that's surrounding his career, I think he's trying to save it on his scoot out of the White House.
I think you're right. I by the way, I appreciate your call, Joshua. I believe we ain't seen nothing yet with this guy. I think he's only becoming drunk with power. And I still contend on his way out the door, there are going to be pardons the likes of which you can't believe taking place. Let's go to Ray, KSFO, out here on the left coast. Ray, go ahead. You are on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Brian. His economic policies and its health care are horrible. My wife used to work 40 hours a week. She works 29 and a half now, so the employer doesn't have to cover her. We went to the doctor. I had a $6,000 deductible. I don't get a tax refund anymore because it's offset by Obama's Obamacare. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, so when he says things are much better today, not just in America, but across the world since I became president, that's what he told these Rutgers students, and he even used health care as an example, and he's gone. But that does. I mean, says that Ray, calling from the left coast, articulates what so many of you have experienced as well, just with health care alone, and yet Obama says, no, it's much better now. All these millions of people have health insurance. It's saving them money. But your premiums have gone up. Your deductibles have gone up. And for those of you who say, I don't need insurance because I'm young and healthy, guess what? You got a fine. You got fined. You got fined by the IRS. And he's also saying, don't build a wall and immigration. Oh, see, he said a wall and the immigrants aren't the problem. Well, the problem is the illegal immigrants. And the wall is a symbol of what needs to be fixed in this country. Jack's at WDRC in Connecticut. Jack, you're on the Savage Nation. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Yes, the immigrants coming here are not they're a very, very different kind of people than we had coming from Europe, you know, in the 20s, 30s, when there was a huge, huge immigration going on. There we had people from Western civilization, and they fit in. Also, they came here not to get on welfare, but as a matter of fact, they couldn't at that time. And so they had to be self-sufficient. They had to have someone sponsor them and so forth and so on. The people coming here are coming here to get on welfare, and they'll come out and tell you they're coming here to get on welfare. And so, of course, the taxes in this country are going up tremendously. Another thing is, in this speech, he was at Rutgers, and you would think that these college students would be able to figure it out instantaneously. He's convoluting the idea of illegal aliens with immigration. Immigrants are immigrants by virtue of the fact that they are going through the immigration process. Now, if they're coming here and they're not going through the immigration process, they're not immigrants. They're illegal aliens. And so when I go to Mexico, which I do often, I'm an alien. But I'm a legal alien. You know?
Right. No, it's completely different. He's confusing those things. And these college students, don't know the difference. They're being taught that, well, first of all, they're taught that there is no such thing as an illegal alien because a person can't be illegal. And they're completely offended by the term alien, which is what our government refers to, what all governments refer to as people in their country who are not citizens. You're an alien. I looked at a friend of mine's from Australia. He's been in this country 30 years. He's got a green card. I looked at his green card yesterday. Quite frankly, I'd never seen a green card before. It said resident alien. Alien was right there in bold print. I mean, it's a term. And yes, I understand. Oh, a person can't be illegal. Well, when you enter the country illegally, you didn't go through the proper channels, you would be an illegal alien. But you're right, there's a big difference now. And I think Michael has articulated this thousands of times. Coming to this country as an immigrant. Michael's the product of an immigrant family. Most of us are products of immigrant families. The only people I know who are not products of immigrant families are my friends who are either Native Americans or, in the case of my wife, she will tell you, no, my family founded America. But there are too many of those. The bottom line is, the immigrants who used to come to this country, like, for example, my grandparents, they came here because they wanted to be American. They saw the beautiful land of liberty and said, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this experience. I want to be an American. Guess what? My kids are going to learn to speak English lickety-split. We're going to get ahead. We're going to love this country. If it goes to war, I'm all in. That's the difference between yesterday's immigrant and today's. But it's a brand new world. It's a brave new world, in fact. MichaelSavage.com, some of the other stories that are making the news. So it appears as if the RNC is coming around, and Reince Priebus, the chair of the RNC, Republican National Committee, warns against taking on Trump with an independent third-party-like bid. Listen, there are still conservatives, and maybe some of you are listening. You're a part of the hashtag Never Trump crowd, and you really believe that Cruz is the guy or whoever's the guy. That is absolute suicide. And Hillary wins if we go down that road. I'm not only a hashtag Never Hillary, I'm a hashtag Hillary for prison. Everything I do on Twitter these days, hashtag Hillary for prison. Because I believe she's in big trouble. Folks, if the FBI was investigating you, I'll use myself as an example. I'm an employee of Cumulus Broadcasting. And as an employee under contract with Cumulus Broadcasting. So I've got a contract. Okay? Most people in this world today do not have contracts. I've got a contract with Cumulus Broadcasting. If, for example, I was under investigation by the FBI, I can dang well guarantee that the people at Cumulus would look at my contract and say, there's this clause. Not only can we fire him because he's being investigated by the FBI, but you're damn right we will fire him because he's being investigated by the FBI. And it would be the same thing with you. I don't care what you do for a living. If you were under investigation by the FBI, especially if you've got, let's say you're an executive officer at a company, especially a publicly traded company, or you're in the public limelight, you would be fired so fast. This woman isn't even it's Hillary! And she thinks she can become president of the United States. She's going to get the nomination. She's under investigation by the FBI. Now you tell me what's up. And I know you will. And of course the phone number here on the Savage Nation is 855-400-SAVAGE. Other headlines at MichaelSavage.com. So I would agree with Reince Priebus. And most of the time I'm in disagreement with him. But in this particular case, he's right. A third-party attempt, an independent bid, suicide. Game, set, match, Hillary. So we've got that. Other stories. Oh, this is wild. We'll get into this. We've got some audio. So the New York Times does a hit piece on Donald Trump regarding his girlfriends. So no extramarital affairs. No, I mean, this is a girlfriend, apparently, after he's been divorced. He's got a girlfriend. Apparently, they interviewed several of his girlfriends. And they were all told, no, this is going to be a very fair piece. No, of course, we'll take your comments in context. And they did everything but that. So now, at least one of these ladies has been on TV. I've seen her several times already today. And she's coming out and said, I read the article. I was shocked. What the heck is going on here? They told me. So we've got some of that audio that we'll be sharing with you in just a moment. Just an attempt by the media to go after the Donald. But see, what the Donald does, he can play the media like a fiddle. I kind of wonder about that audio from 25 years ago that was supposedly Trump impersonating somebody else, talking about Donald Trump's love life or something to that effect. I mean, I'm almost wondering if Trump kind of leaked that audio out himself just because he knows how to toy with these fools in the media. He can do this better than anyone probably in the history of politics. So he plays the media like a fiddle. He plays these politicians like a fiddle. And that's why, again, you know, like the guy or not, I'm just telling you, he's going to beat Hillary. unless some idiots go out there and try a third-party run. We'll talk about that. Again, the phone number, 855-400-7282. This is Brian Sussman. Always a pleasure to fill in on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage. And it's a pleasure, as always, to be on this, the Savage Nation. All right, let's go back to the callers. We were just talking a moment ago making a differentiation between immigrants who are here legally and illegal immigrants. So Pedro's listening on WMAL. Pedro, thanks for checking in on this, the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say for all the listeners that a lot has been said regarding illegal immigrants benefiting from, you know, the system in regards to health care and other benefits such as food stamps and so on. I just want to encourage everybody who's, you know, wants to put this to rest and go to their local market exchange or website set up by their state and call on that number and find out if you could get any type of benefits by now being a legal permanent resident of the United States or a citizen, because that's the case. People without status, or they're not permanent residents or citizens, natural born or citizens per se, they cannot get any type of benefits. Sometimes if kids are born in the United States, I'm telling you because I am a citizen of the United States, but I was a permanent resident alien a while ago. So right. I'm talking about the facts, and you would
yes.
be able to get any benefits through Obamacare or any other state.
But Pedro, you're about to make an excellent point. So what happens is the individual comes here illegally or overstays their visa and then becomes an illegal alien. If they have a child here, of course, the child's automatically a citizen, and then they can use those children who are now U.S. citizens to gain benefits, correct?
They would only gain health care benefits for their kids, and that's as far as it goes.
But they could get food stamps and child care as well, from what I understand.
Child care? Never heard of such thing. Food?
Well, here in California you can, so maybe it's different from state to state. But here, if you're an illegal alien with children born in the United States, quote-unquote anchor babies, you can use those even to get child care, as well as your food stamps. And in other states, including California, a lot of other benefits. We'll talk more about this. And I can't wait. Brian Sussman filling in on this, the Savage Nation.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Savage, my friend for many, many years. Of course, Savage is the guy who really got the station that I'm broadcasting from, KSFO in San Francisco, on the map. He started with his local show, and literally the heads of everyone in media in this town were turned when Michael took to the airwaves. And I remember he would have these rallies in San Francisco. This is before the Tea Party ever was even a dream. But I'm sure he was the guy that started the Tea Party, because he started this organization called the Paul Revere Society. This is like, you know, this is mid-90s, Paul Revere Society. And he'd have these rallies in San Francisco, and everyone was shocked because KSFO listeners would come in the thousands to hear him speak in downtown San Francisco in the middle of the day, and they'd all be wearing their little Paul Revere hats. It was crazy. And that was kind of the birth of the Tea Party, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, Savage is back tomorrow for all the latest headlines. And to subscribe to the Savage newsletter, just go to michaelsavage.com. I've been reading some of the headlines this morning. We're going to get into one of those headlines in just a moment. Also, you can get the new book, Teddy and Me. It's in bookstores now. It's just a fun, lighthearted, non-political read about Michael's life and travels and experiences and his dog, Teddy. It's good stuff. Really, really good stuff. So that's what's going on. 855-400-SAVAGE is the number, 855-400-7282. So some of the things we're talking about, and just look at the callers here. This is the beautiful thing that I love about getting behind this microphone, is I get to talk to people from all over the United States. So fun. And that's why I'm in the talk radio biz. I can talk to people who are Americans, and we all have the same dreams and goals and vision, but we come from, you know, different persuasions. It's a beautiful thing. I'm looking at one caller, WABC, Trump should emphasize restarting immigration from Europe. You know, there's something to be said about this. Western cultures, you know, people from Western cultures coming here, they get it. They can easily integrate and be a part of the scene. People from non-Western cultures, it really takes some effort. The problem is there are some coming to this country from non-Western cultures who don't give a rip. They don't want to integrate. They don't want to assimilate. That's the problem. Didn't used to be like that, despite what Obama would tell you. Like, for example, this weekend in that speech at Rutgers. Others, let me see here, is a New York cop witnessing the realities of benefits. This is good. We were talking about this with Pedro, who checked in the last hour. He said illegal immigrants can't get benefits. To which I replied, yes, there are ways for them to get benefits. It varies state to state, but I know in California, if you've got children who are born here, guess what? You can get the bennies really easy because your children are eligible. And that even includes things like daycare. I'm not kidding. Let's go to Larry, WABC. Larry, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Hey. Yeah, I was calling because my daily jobs, I run into some things that, you know, would make the hard-working person really upset. Yesterday, a family of approximately 12 people, five of those children, had an altercation, and we had to show up because somebody threw a rock through their window because they're fighting with neighbors. And the landlord shows up, and he says, listen, I want to get these people out. And I said, how come? They said, well, they don't pay their fair share. I go, well, what's the rent? She says, well, Section 8 pays $1,650 a month, and they pay $250, and they don't give me their end of the $250. And in the process, you know, you realize through the dispute, there's a Mercedes-Benz with out-of-state plates outside that belongs to the guy who rents the house. So basically, he's living there for free while the government pays $1,650 in rent for him to live there with the 12 people he's living there with.
Right. Right.
What does that show you as the person who's doing the construction, doing the fire department, doing anything? We go to work every day, we get taxed out the butt, and look at this guy. He doesn't have to do anything. The government's going to give him the free ride, and he doesn't even pay for the measly $250 responsibility on the other end.
And I've heard the stories. I've spoken to people here in the San Francisco Bay Area about this, Larry. And you'll have the person living in Section 8 housing and then renting out rooms within his house to other people, which it sounds like this other guy might be doing. So he gets the Section 8 housing. The government's paying for it. He's renting out rooms, getting even more money back. Then he's got a slew of other benefits that he's collecting. So he's living large, completely on the dole because he's learned how to rig the system. But going back to the illegal aliens for just a moment, the children automatically get their benefits. But then there's the other unspoken cost involved. Whenever anybody goes to any hospital in the United States, because we are benevolent people, they will get cared for, and that includes the illegal alien. But, I mean, Larry, you're seeing this stuff real time before your very eyes as a member of our law enforcement community.
It's just a little, it's just tiring. It's disgusting. I mean, if you're physically capable, by all means, you should be out there. Because if you're getting $1,650 from the government, mm-hmm. and you need to make $250 to pay rent, you can work anywhere a month and make $250 a month.
Yeah.
It disgusts me that there's so much of this going on, and typically if you comment on it, you become or you're labeled a racist because of what you're seeing. And that's where, you know, the whole left gets involved in labeling the stuff.
That's it. The labeling sticks because the media makes sure it does. Hey, Larry, stay safe. Thanks for being a part of our law enforcement community. Larry calling from the New York area, WABC. Okay, well, let's go from that to this, because Obama was out there speaking, and he was doing so at Rutgers. and he was mentioning a whole bunch of things that make it sound as if America doesn't need to be made great again because it's already great. In fact, it's even better than ever. I mean, that's what he was saying. He was talking about us as a world melting pot, a world melting pot. Listen to clip 7. Here's Obama.
Suggesting that we can build an endless wall along our borders and blame our challenges on immigrants. That doesn't just run counter to our history as the world's melting pot. It contradicts the evidence that our growth and our innovation and our dynamism has always been spurred by our ability to attract strivers from every corner of the globe. That's how we became America. Why would we want to stop it now?
These people are so clever with their rhetoric. Unbelievable. We're not getting strivers from every corner of the world now. We're not getting America's best and brightest. We're getting takers. We're getting slackers. We're getting people with ulterior motives. We're getting people who have no interest in becoming an American. We are getting people that, in fact, hate American values. That's what we're getting now. But it continues. Let's go to cut number 10. Here's Obama continuing. This is at Rutgers University this weekend. Go ahead.
If you were listening to today's political debate, you might wonder where this strain of anti-intellectualism came from. So class of 2016, let me be as clear as I can be. In politics and in life, ignorance is not a virtue. It's not cool to not know what you're talking about. That's not keeping it real or telling it like it is. That's not challenging political correctness. That's just not knowing what you're talking about.
So, traditionally we've debated these things, he says. You might wonder where the strain of anti-intellectualism came from. So here's the deal. The left doesn't want to debate you on anything. If you say, I want less government regulation, they'll say, anti-intellectual. We've got an immigration crisis. You're ignorant. Look at that national debt. You're not cool. Let's talk about radical Islam. Oh, you're being politically incorrect. They don't want to debate on these issues. And, oh, that would be lighthearted rhetoric. Generally speaking, what they say is, oh, you got a problem with Muslims? You're a hater. Oh, you got a problem with this? You're a racist. That's what they do. Hater, racist. They don't want an argument. And this is why Donald Trump has pushed a button that's resonating with people in this country. And this is why Donald Trump is going to end up winning this election, because at this moment in time, he's punched the right button. People are sick of it. And he's touched on those three pillars that people are upset about most. And that has to do with the immigration policy in this country, which is insane. It doesn't mean we're against immigrants. It's just an insane the policies we have in place don't make any sense. They defy rationale. Okay, that's number one. Ding. Let's talk about another. Radical Islam. We see it all over the world. We see it in our own country. We have a president who won't even address it. Ding. That's something else that bothers people on both sides of the aisle, by the way. And then we also can talk about our jobs. Obama made it sound all rosy at Rutgers. Oh, here we are. You're coming out of school, you're going to get a job. Well, is it the job you want? Now, what about all those guys? You know, we had a caller in the first hour on the Savage Nation. Guy's talking about Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He's looking at these rusting, dilapidated old steel mills. That used to be, there were proud men and women who worked in those facilities. Those jobs are long gone. They've gone overseas. Why? Because of environmental regulations, for the most part. That's where it started. But we have shipped out all these jobs, and there are good-hearted Americans that say, man, I want to work. I want to work. I want to make money. I'm not satisfied with this job. I want to work. No, I don't have a degree in engineering, but you know what? I can work with my hands. I can do stuff. They want their jobs back. They want more. Trump thing has hit on all three of those topics. It resonates with people in America today. Now, you get, okay, you want one more? Then we'll go to break. One more. Here's Hillary, just right along these lines. Hillary says this. She's talking about the coal country. She's trying to walk back those statements. Listen to clip 18, Hillary Clinton.
I'm the only candidate who's actually put on the table a plan for coal country, a $30 billion plan, because I don't think we should leave behind the people who have turned on the lights and powered the factories of the United States for a century. We can't and we must not walk away from them. You know, I feel such a sense of obligation, and we're going to you know, do everything we can to help them, you know, get through this transition.
She can try to walk back those statements, but everybody knows, including the people in West Virginia who will not vote for her, and portions of Ohio and Pennsylvania, they won't vote for her, Kentucky, coal country, because of what she said. We'll talk more about this. A pleasure to be with you, Brian Sussman, filling in for Michael Savage, who's back tomorrow on this, The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation. Michael's back tomorrow. I'm at michaelsavage.com right now, just looking at the headlines. There's a story here from madworldnews.com. For those unaware, the Obama administration recently sent a letter to all public schools across the nation demanding that students be allowed to, quote, use bathrooms and locker rooms that match their chosen gender identity, as opposed to their birth certificate. That's a letter from the president to all the schools. So not an executive order, just an executive letter to scare them into submission. Coming up in just a few minutes on The Savage Nation, I came across an article by a well-known LGBT activist who tells America what this is really all about. This bathroom law, this is huge. It's big, and he spills the beans, and he's not afraid to do so. We'll talk about that. Now, we've been talking about, you know, borders, language, culture. This is the show for that. I've been hearing Michael talk about that theme since the mid-90s. He was way ahead of the curve. And now we've got a presidential candidate who's right there with the borders, language, culture. So we were talking about illegals coming into this country. It stemmed from a caller in the last hour named Pedro, who was talking about he's a legal alien. He was talking about the illegals who come to this country, got us into talking about the welfare benefits that the illegals are able to receive through their children who are citizens. So let's go to Bill, WFNC in North Carolina. Bill, I understand you worked in welfare for quite some time. Go right ahead.
Yes, I did. And in North Carolina, the illegal person that has no Social Security number does not receive benefits. However, her children do. And here's my problem. We mail the taxpayers' hard-earned money to an illegal person, and we have no idea how that money's being used or where it's being used. I have a proposal for the leaders of the country if we want to help ourselves. Let's make a bill that says Department of Social Services cannot mail U.S. resources, and that includes food stamps, Medicaid, and cash assistance, cannot mail it to an illegal citizen. We could establish a protective payee. We do it every day. Protective payees is a common thing when we take a child away from a family.
Bill, I'm with you on this. This just makes so much sense. We've got a break, unfortunately. But you made your point, and you made it well here on The Savage Nation. Because this, my friends, is exactly what's going on, underscored by Bill. So, there we have it. I mean, this is what's going on in America today. The illegal aliens are able to use their children as essentially the feeding tube for the family to get these benefits. So what do? We send the family money, and no strings attached. Hey, use it any way you would like. And in various states, those benefits, they increase just depending on the status of your state. If you live in a blue state like I do here in California, the benefits are plentiful. Oh, and it's even more so for those coming across the border and saying, amnesty, amnesty, I'm a child. I'm 17. Oh, really? How long have you had that beard? Brian Sussman, always a pleasure to speak with you. And there's more. There is more coming up on this, The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
It's the Savage Nation. Michael Savage off today, back tomorrow. Brian Sussman filling in out here on the left coast for Dr. Savage. Again, michaelsavage.com. Teddy and Me, that's the name of the book. Teddy and Me, it's in bookstores now. I interviewed Michael about the book last week. It's a charming read, non-political. I think it's going to obviously have broad appeal, and judging by the sales, it does. So go to michaelsavage.com and order yourself a copy right now. I'm at michaelsavage.com. A lot of stories in the news, including the bathroom bill. So again, just to back up, the Obama administration, it wasn't an executive order. It wasn't a law of Congress, nothing like that. It was an executive letter. So the power of the pen, using his bully pulpit like a dictator. Letter sent to all public schools across the nation. And, of course, they'll all do this because, well, they receive federal funding. Demanding that students be allowed to, quote, use bathrooms and locker rooms that match their chosen gender identity as opposed to their birth certificate. Now, without getting, well, I know that on my morning program in San Francisco, my co-host, Katie Green, a woman, said, I wonder how Barack Obama's daughters would feel if they were in a women's restroom or women's locker room at their school and all of a sudden a guy comes in and pulls down his pants. How is that going to make them feel? And the real issue here is just common sense and safety. Come on, folks. Common sense and safety. How would you feel? You're waiting outside. Okay, let's just use this as an example, guys. Those of you who have daughters, your daughter is now going to use the bathroom. You're in a mall. At a mall. You're in the mall. And little daughter who's 7 is with you. You're shopping. She has to use the bathroom. Now, at the age of 7, or let's just say 10, whatever, there's a point where she can't go in the bathroom with you any longer. She's got to go to the women's bathroom. And you can't go in with her. So you send her in, and then like a good dad, you're guarding the door, right? Honey, if you need me for any reason, just yell my name. Just say, Daddy, and I will be right in there. I don't care what's going on. I will be right there. Guys, you know the drill. We've all been there, right? So you allow your daughter to go in, and suddenly you see an interesting-looking individual go in the room who you know is not a woman. Maybe dressed like a woman, but it's not a woman. Or maybe it's just completely a guy. I mean, just there's no even an attempt to fake it. Walks in. What are you going to do, Dad? What do you do? Of course, you go in immediately to get your daughter out. Or you call in, honey, come out right now. Whatever the case may be. Folks, it's just common sense. This is a day and age where we have perverts left, right, and center in this country. Pedophiles, perverts, jackasses, whatevers. We got them. This is nuts. So what's really going on here? I mean, so I'm prompted by this story at michaelsavage.com. And then suddenly a friend sends me a story from FaithFamilyAmerica.com from a well-known LGBT activist who has written an article entitled, We'll Win the Bathroom Battle When the Binary Burns. Now, what's the binary? See, you don't even know. You're listening to this program. You need to get clued in, folks. The binary refers to gender distinction, and getting rid of the hetero binary is the goal. I see the bumper stickers. Now, this is going to shock you. I see the bumper stickers in the San Francisco Bay Area. They're popping up all over. The bumper sticker is very simple. Gender is dead. And this is what's being taught in the schools. Gender is dead. There's an emerging group of people who don't want to affiliate with any gender, and it's being supported in the schools. These are, quote, non-binary people. That's why the title of the article is, We'll Win the Bathroom Battle When the Binary Burns. They want to get rid of the binary, male, female. Done. Over. Non-binary people don't identify as male or female. So they want to be referred to in other manners. Sometimes it's they, or it's her, H-I-R, or it's Z-E-R for sir, zer. So this is the deal. According to this activist, he said, if you're confused, you're not alone, but beneath all of the titles, well, let me just continue here. What he says is what we're really talking about is the abolition of sex, and it is sex that the trans project is serving to abolish legally under the guise of something called the gender binary. It's the end game. The end game in society is one in which everyone is legally de-sexed. Everyone will no longer be male or female. And once you basically redefine humanity as sexless, you end up with a dehumanized society in which there can be no legal mother or father or son or daughter or husband or wife without permission from the state. Folks, this is, so again, this is what's happening. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. I see it. It's being preached in our public schools left, right, and center. The LGBT activists have a goal. It's not the bathroom. It's the family. It's the abolition of the family as we know it. That's the goal. Because the family is the foundation of society. And what has been one of the communist planks forever? The abolition of the family. So it's showing up in a brand new way, and that's what this bathroom thing is all about. And Barack Obama, I'm sure, he knows it. He knows what's going on here. Of course he knows. The abolition of the family. And if that's the foundation of society, if that's the pillar of society, once you can eliminate that, then you're one step closer to basically ruling the masses with an iron fist. This is what's going on. So I'm sorry to digress and ruin your afternoon or evening, depending on where you're listening, but I'm living in ground zero. When you start seeing bumper stickers that say gender is dead, and then you hear how they're teaching this in the public school classrooms and certainly at all of the colleges in the San Francisco Bay Area, folks, it's the real deal, and it's coming. It's coming. Now let's go back and talk about Obama's speech at Rutgers, shall we? Because we've got some excellent callers who are on hold. Obama's talking about how things are better now in America than ever before. Oh, absolutely rosy. Better than, and it's all happened in his last 8 years, according to Obama, when you listen to the transcript, which we'll play for you shortly. So you've got that piece. Then you've got Hillary telling all the coal people in West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, etc. Oh, no, we're going to take care of you coal miners. Never mind how my words were taken out of context. We're going to take care of you. And nobody's got the plan that I do for you. That's what she's saying. Then we had a caller in the first hour of the Savage Nation who told us about, well, Bethlehem Steel. And he was noticing, you know, the old factory. He said, hey, if Hillary wants to walk down memory lane to the good old days, or if Barack Obama wants to look at the way things used to be in this country, just take a look at that steel factory. It's a big rust bucket now. All the steel factories that are out of work, Ohio, Pennsylvania, right on down the line. Here's Bill, WMAL. Bill, so I understand that you worked at Bethlehem Steel. Now, my contention is, among other things, environmentalism destroyed the steel industry in the United States. But what say you, Bill?
Brian, I returned from the Korean War service in the 50s and had no money and walked into that plant that the fellow talked about in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and got a job as a laborer for $1.63 a night working in the open hearths. The kind of company it was, I started as a laborer and became, in 11 years, after working through college and law school, the senior labor lawyer, sitting across the table negotiating with the union presidents that I was a member of, which I was a member of. Well, at that time, in the 80s, now fast forward, there were 11 top steel companies who negotiated together, starting with U.S. Steel as the biggest. Today, there is one U.S. Steel. Bethlehem Steel is the second largest steel corporation in the world, and it is gone. I also had a chance to represent the entire American steel industry in the International Iron and Steel Institute in Brussels, Belgium. We had 55 steel-making countries. China was not a member. It didn't make enough. Today, China is making 600 million tons of steel. Almost three-quarters of the steel made in the world is coming out of China with no pollution control.
Absolutely. Now, Bill, I've got to ask you a bunch of questions. That was my first one. In China, when they're doing this steel, there are no pollution controls whatsoever. And my understanding is that the steel they're producing is oftentimes substandard. What do you know about that?
Well, you're absolutely right. And it is getting better because they don't put the alloys in steel. By the way, it's my opinion, because we built the Golden Gate Bridge. Bethlehem Steel Corporation built the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow, that's a great bridge.
The World Trade Center was made out of Japanese steel. I won't go into that. But when you if you ever bought any socket wrenches at a flea market and you used it once and it broke, there was no alloys in the steel. You have the steel is as good as like a cake, as good as an ingredient, the cake will be as good. And what they did in Japan when I used to travel there, they had no pollution control. And you know how they got rid of their pollution? They built the stacks higher. You can't believe how high the stacks were.
Higher up in the atmosphere. I get you. Now, the other part of it is, I mean, Bill, we could be fabricating this steel in America, and we could probably do it. You know, we could do it in a very, very clean way now with 2016 technology, correct?
Absolutely, Brian. By the way, we built the Golden Gate Bridge, the Narrows-Marizano Bridge, the George Washington. Do you know what? There is not a company in this country today that could build the Golden Gate Bridge. It would have to be done by the Japanese. They bought all of Bethlehem Steel's plans.
Well, I noticed that we had this the $12 billion San Francisco Bay Bridge, which was just completed a couple of years ago. It's the most expensive bridge in world history. The original budget was supposed to be under $1 billion. With financing, it went to over $12 billion. And there are so many problems on that bridge, and many of the problems have to do with brittle steel that was fabricated in China. So talk to me about brittle steel. What does that tell you?
Steel, in order to make steel, you make iron. And iron is, you know, wrought iron. You know what that is. There's no strength to it. There's no strength to it. The Eiffel Tower is made out of wrought iron, and it's the way it's made is what holds it up. But in order to have a beam go out, cantilevered out to 25, 30 feet, it's got to be it's got to be strength. And anyway, and the way you make strength is you take the iron and you mix it with alloys and scrap, and you have a formula. Whatever the customer wants is what you do. And the Chinese steel has all they used to make was rebar, reinforcing bar from concrete, which is wrought iron. Now they're making all kinds of sheet and strip and everything for cars, and unless you have the right alloys in it, you're not going to have the strength. Alloys equal strength in steel.
Bill, excellent call out of WMAL. I really appreciate it here on the Savage Nation. See, this is the beautiful thing. You talk to people all over the country, not just with their opinions, but their expertise coming to the microphone. It is a beautiful thing. Now, a moment ago, we were talking about the family and what's going on with these bathroom laws. It started with an article I saw at michaelsavage.com. We will get back into that. Plus, we need to talk. We haven't talked a lot about the politics, but we will. Donald Trump in the news, hit piece in the New York Times regarding his girlfriends. When are they going to write the hit piece about Bill Clinton's girlfriends? That's a question that deserves to be answered. So at any rate, Brian Sussman filling in on this, The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Savage, who's back tomorrow. But we were just talking about Obama's letter to public schools. It wasn't an executive order. It was an executive letter, which will have the same effect. Everybody bows and cowers to this guy. Otherwise, they'll be a racist or a hater. This has to do with the trans bathrooms, which defies sanity. It's just... And folks, as we described in the last segment, and we'll get back into this if you're just joining us, this isn't about trans anything. This is about the abolition of the family, a long-term communist plot. The left has just been pining for this forever. Get rid of the family. You destroy the pillar of society. And now you've got a population that's just there to form and shape and hold down and keep under control. That's what they want here. Joe is calling from New York. WGDJ. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead, please.
Hello, sir. You stole the words out of my mouth. This idea of degenerization is a moral and social swipe of the side that will firmly, a second swipe at the side, I would say, because the morals and values have already been devalued. And this bathroom issue is a second swipe of the side, which will aid in firmly separating the family identity structure from the social and civil routes in which are needed.
Oh, yeah, and Joe, you're right. I mean, the plan is already so well in place in the San Francisco Bay Area. I see this more and more. I'll see the young child. I mean, we're talking a kid, you know, 6, 7, 8. I just saw one at the hardware store the other day. This kid, clearly a boy, but he's with his mom, and he's dressed to be a girl. And he's trying to act like a girl. And what will end up happening is, in time when the kid starts going through puberty, drugs will be given to him of the female hormone persuasion, and eventually there'll be an operation. And my God, this is insanity. This is a little kid.
Degenderization is a bizarre concept. I don't know how else to put it.
And you know what? We're falling right into it before our very eyes, and this is part of a long-term plan. And the left is just so, so dug in on this one. And again, you know, you even say what I just said, and you're a hater. You're intolerant. Okay, we'll talk more about this with you. You know, it's always a great pleasure to get behind the microphone on this, the Savage Nation. I look forward to your calls, because we still have time to go, and there's a lot to talk about on this, the Savage Nation.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Actually, here he is, friend of Michael Savage, Brian Sussman, filling in out here on the left coast, Michael's flagship station, KSFO. I host a morning show each morning. Dr. Savage is oftentimes a guest. We talked to him recently about his new book, Teddy and Me, non-political book, a nice read, very uplifting. I highly encourage you to go to michaelsavage.com to order your copy right away. By the way, the latest Savage newsletter has been posted at michaelsavage.com. So go there, get that. You can also follow the doctor on Twitter, at A Savage Nation, as well as Facebook. So let's see here. Something that's on Savage's website. It's a story about Donald Trump and one of his girlfriends. New York Times trying to write a hit piece on the Donald, and nothing's working. You know, they wanted to interview girlfriends of Donald Trump. So this is between marriages, girlfriends, not during marriages. If they wanted that, they could do an investigation of Bill Clinton. Oh, but they won't go there, will they? No. Never do that. And they would never do something like that with Hillary. Just kind of digging around to see, are there any interesting people that may have been in a relationship with Hillary while she was married? A particular Vince Foster? Oh, don't do that. My God, you're a conspiracy nut. But they'll never do it. Instead, they're going after Donald any way they can. You probably ain't seen nothing yet. It's not going to work because Trump knows how to manipulate the media like no one in history. I'm just telling you. And whether you think he'd be a good president or not, you have to admit he understands. Listen, Marshall McLuhan said the medium is the message. He understands the television medium. I think he gets the entire media. We've never had a Republican candidate like this. See, the Democrats have been able to manipulate the media for the longest time through various means. The master to date has been Obama. See, what you don't realize, not only is he on every late-night show and every daytime show, but he's on morning radio all over the country all the time. Sports shows, hip-hop shows, Latino shows. He has been manipulating the media, and of course, if Obama's people call, you're going to put him on the air, right? Because he's the prez, he's hip and cool, and God forbid you don't want to be a hater or a racist. Plus, to a certain crowd, he generates something called ratings. Ratings. That's what the Donald does. He knows how to generate ratings, and he does it very well. That's why I even kind of wonder about this story of this recording of him. Well, they say it's him posing as somebody else, talking about Donald Trump 25 years ago. I know that's confusing. I wouldn't be surprised if he leaked that to the media. He plays with these chumps, and they bite each and every time. He's a master. So now we have a former Trump girlfriend. This was a New York Times article published on Saturday. Headline, Crossing the Line. How Donald Trump behaved with women in private. Ooh, I want to read this. It begins with an anecdote from a woman named Rowane Brewer Lane. 26-year-old model was asked by the businessman, that would be Donald, to put on a swimsuit during their first meeting at Mar-a-Lago at a pool party there. It's 1990. So they're making it sound as if, you know, the Donald, pervert and all, says, hey, put on this swimsuit. But it's nothing like what the article contends. I saw her this morning on Fox and Friends. Here's a portion of this interview. I mean, she's saying, wait a second. I was told it was going to be fair. I was told everything would be in context. I said good things about Donald. I like Donald Trump. But I read the article and I was shocked. Anyway, here she is. Take a listen.
Actually, it was very upsetting. The New York Times told us several times that they would make sure that my story that I was telling came across. They promised several times that they would do it accurately. They told me several times and my manager several times that it would not be a hit piece and that my story would come across the way that I was telling it and honestly. And it absolutely was not.
Note to self, this is why, again, I'm just a little local host out here on the West Coast in San Francisco. But I will never do an interview with the mainstream media. I just won't do it. Because, well, first of all, I used to be in the media. I know how it operates. I'll give you a story. I'll backtrack on my career really quick for you. Graduated from the University of Missouri. I get out of the University of Missouri. I get a job as a news director in a small TV station in Columbia, Missouri. So I was in charge of a newsroom. I'm a young kid just out of college. Quite frankly, I was over my head, but that's another story and an admission on my part. So I learned about the news biz doing that. I realized I did not like management. I ended up getting in front of the camera and start working my way up to the rank. I had an opportunity to fill in as a weather guy once in Reno at KOLO Television. And I thought, this is the coolest thing in the world. I go back, get a degree in meteorology. Now I become a meteorologist. End up in the San Francisco market. End up working for CBS New York. Okay, so I've kind of seen newsrooms, big-time newsrooms, including CBS in New York and Channel 11 and Channel 5 in San Francisco. I know editorial bias. And I'll never forget the time when I had an argument with an executive producer over global warming. And this was a person who was trying to get me to do a story as the meteorologist who also has a degree in journalism. They tried to get me to do a story on the link between El Nino, the weather phenomenon known as El Nino, and global warming. And I said, guys, there's not a scientist on the planet who would try to link those two. There's nothing there. And you guys know how I feel about global warming anyway. So this is, you know, a discussion we had, which escalates. And finally, the executive producer became... So this is an executive producer with CBS. The executive producer pulls me aside and literally whispers in my ear, Brian, your problem is you don't know which facts to leave out. I felt like somebody punched me in the gut. I thought, my God, I've been in this business all these years. I knew there was a bias, but I never heard anybody say it so succinctly. And that's the way these newsrooms operate, folks, now more than ever. Oh, they'll give you the facts. They'll give you the facts. Absolutely. Generally speaking, they don't make stuff up, but they know which facts to leave out, so they can put forward the story of their pickings. And not only do they do it this way, but I know how these reporters work. Guys, you may be listening, and you know that I know I'm right on this, because I've seen the sausage made. I know how it works. That's why it's very difficult for me to watch most local news shows or even the network news shows. I know how it's done. It hasn't changed. The recipe that you guys are using hasn't changed in 30 years, and you wonder why your ratings suck. But the bottom line is this. When that reporter goes out, if he's working for a good executive producer, that executive producer will say, okay, you're going to go interview this guy. I want you to get him to say this, this, and this, okay, right? And then the story's already written before the person goes. When the person's driving in the truck to the location to do the story's already written. It's marinating in the reporter's mind based on conversations he or she had at the station on the way out the door. And they get the sound bites they want by asking questions several different ways, then going back in the van and editing it carefully, and they can get basically anybody to say anything they want. And they can come up with any editorial point of view on any story they want, because that's exactly how they do it. They know which facts to leave out. And so there it is with the New York Times. I mean, this woman who was a girlfriend of Donald Trump's and a really nice person, either she made a mistake of going to the New York Times, or she called up Donald and said, Donald, they want to interview. Donald said, go ahead and do it, because you know what? It's going to backfire on them, and I will end up owning this story, which is happening before his very eyes. Because this guy knows how to manipulate the media, and somebody needs to. Because otherwise, these people are out of control with an agenda that is clearly anti-American, clearly anti-Republican, clearly anti-Trump. There we go. 855-400-SAVAGE is the phone number. 855-400-SAVAGE. Iran's hostages. You know, that deal we did with Iran. What a joke that was. Now there's a story involving classified details of Iran's treatment of our U.S. sailors. Remember when they got caught or captured? That was a joke? Oh, yeah, a big joke. We will get into that momentarily here on The Savage Nation. Also, it would appear as if, despite what Obama's telling us about America being better than ever, oh, yeah, it's better now. Most of the better has happened under his watch. I'm noticing some statistics about major crime spikes in the United States. So how's that working out for us? Again, Brian Sussman filling in on this, The Savage Nation. Your calls coming up next.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage, who's back tomorrow. MichaelSavage.com is where we're getting many of the stories we're talking about this evening, this afternoon, depending on when you're listening. But at any rate, it's always a pleasure to be behind the microphone. Let's begin with Obama, Rutgers University. This story is getting a lot of attention. He goes after Trump without mentioning Trump by name. And he's trying to make these students believe, you know, the students, they're what? They're 20, 20, 21, 22. What do they know? All they basically know is Obama's president. It's been the last 8 years, the most influential years of their lives. Obama's president. Now they're there, and he is their hero, probably for most of them, lest they be considered intolerant or a hater or a racist. And they've gone through a very liberal education. And here's Obama to now send them on their way, and he's telling them, no, things are better than ever. Better than ever. They have no memory of what it used to be like in this country. Not at all. So here he is, clip three. Take a listen.
Meanwhile, in 8 years since most of you started high school, we're also better off. You and your fellow graduates are entering the job market with better prospects than any time since 2007. 20 million more Americans know the financial security of health insurance. We're less dependent on foreign oil. We've doubled the production of clean energy. We have cut the high school dropout rate. We've cut the deficit by two-thirds. Marriage equality is the law of the land.
Yay, marriage equality, oh! And of course, because none of these kids are religiously trained, or very few are, properly. They have no idea what marriage really represents from a Judeo-Christian standpoint. And so they just gobble it up. They gobble it up. Oh, yes, high school dropouts. Well, these kids all came from the very best schools, and they were all the very best of students. They didn't associate with the dropouts because those people, generally speaking, drop out after their freshman year, and they're not calculated. At least in California, they don't calculate those kids into the mix when they talk about graduation rates. And even here in the Silicon Valley, where the economy is absolutely off the charts great, and there are a lot of really sharp kids, some of these schools are boasting about the fact that, you know, their graduation rate's about 60%. That means 40% of the kids aren't graduating. So it's not that great. Job prospects are good, he's saying. What? Are you kidding me? I'm looking at those job numbers that come out from the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, every week, and I ain't seeing anything rosy. And he talks about this great nation. Folks, it's been the fundamental transformation. If that's what's great, guess what? He's done one heck of a job. Done it better than anybody ever would think. If his idea of making America great was the fundamental transformation, well, guess what? We have an open border to our south, and basically an open border to our north. We've got a refugee crisis. Guess what? Those refugees coming in, as well as the quote-unquote kids with beards and MS-13 tattoos, those kids coming through our southern border, they're going to be voting in 10 years. We're getting a law enforcement backlash. Does that bother anybody? This is absolute anarchy taking place. Law enforcement, bad guys. It's all happened under this president's watch. Race relations have gone down the tube. You know, Obama could have stopped that. He gave a speech early on where he said, hey, we're all Americans. We're not black. We're not white. We're all Americans. Well, what happened to that speech? Crime sprees? My gosh, I'm looking at violent crimes and the spike in the United States in many cities. I'm looking at just general crime here in San Francisco off the charts. What's going on here? The transsexual revolution? The breakdown of the traditional family? I'm looking at an entire nation that is being transformed before our very eyes, just as he told us it would be. So, I guess, if that's what he's boasting to these kids as being great, he's absolutely correct. But there sure were a lot of lies that he threw in the mix in trying to sell this to him. But again, the kids just gobble it up, buy it. He's the president. He's the man. And that's what we have to deal with. So these are some of the things that we're talking about on the Savage Nation. It would be foolhardy of me to take any calls right now. There's just not enough time to give you an opportunity. But callers, I promise you, because there are some tremendous people on hold, we will get to you in just a few minutes on this, the Savage Nation. And then we've still got to talk about, you know, in Obama's world, Obama's new world, the treatment of our U.S. sailors by Iran. And we actually, remember what John Kerry did? Remember John Kerry actually thanked Iran for releasing our sailors? Now we're getting an idea of what was done behind the scenes. So we'll be talking about that as well in our moments together here on the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman, it's always a pleasure to fill in. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Don't forget the book, Teddy and Me. It's in bookstores now. I highly encourage you to pick up a copy. Again, Brian Sussman filling in on this, The Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in on this, The Savage Nation. Hashtag Hillary for prison. At real Donald Trump. Okay, what am I doing? I'm tweeting something out. Savage Nation, at a Savage Nation, folks on Twitter, you'll see this momentarily. This is a photograph. I'm just telling you, somebody tweeted this to me. This is brilliant. You know, Savage is Mr. Borders, Language, Culture, as you know. So this has to do with, let me find this here. Oh, this is classic. This has to do with the border fence along Mexico's southern border. I mean, you want to talk about solid as a rock. Unbelievable. And you know what? I don't know that I would call it a beautiful fence, but it's a nice fence. It's better than anything I've seen on our border. This is the fence Mexico built on their border with Guatemala to keep out the freeloaders. Barbed wires, guard towers, armed guards. The landscape has been cleared on both sides, so anybody trying is going to be seen. God. You're telling me we can't do that? We can't do that? We can't do that. I think this is the first time I've actually used the hashtag Make America Great Again. I'm usually using Hillary for Prison 2016. That's good. This was a bad deal. This was a bad, bad deal. That deal that we did with Iran. So now, classified details between, well, this has to do with not the deal we did with Iran, but we had our sailors taken hostage by the Iranians. We still did this deal with them. That should have canceled out any negotiations right then and there. Classified details between Iran's treatment of U.S. sailors captured by the Islamic Republic during a tense standoff early this year. They're going to shock the nation. This is according to Congressman Randy Forbes from Virginia. He told the Free Beacon this in an interview. He said the Obama administration is still keeping these details under wraps. Now, of course, we know they were filmed, crying, forcing them to apologize. They looked so stinking weak. And that was the goal. Make our guys look and gals look weak. So according to Congressman Forbes, we, the United States, did almost nothing in response. In fact, to have Secretary of State John Kerry actually thank them, the Iranians, for releasing our sailors after the way they captured them was a slap in the sailors' face. The details are going to come forth. They will come forth. Meantime, you know, everybody's out there, oh, we need to increase the minimum wage in California. Once again, we're number one. And by the way, I'm broadcasting from California for those of you tuning in, Michael's flagship station, KSFO, where I host a morning show. But we're going where nobody's gone before. At $15 an hour, that's what we want. And now there are cities that want to go even further than that here in San Francisco and the Bay Area. But the bottom line is, I mean, anybody who's ever owned a business, yours truly, owns several of them, knows what minimum wage does. I mean, it jacks up the price of everything. Cost of doing business goes up. You have to pass those costs on to the consumer, your clients, your users. Either that or you've got to eat the cost because you're a small business and you can't compete against the big guys who can more easily absorb those costs. So what do? You start cutting. You start cutting. You cut staff. Or you do what Wendy's is now doing, and they're going kiosk. They're going kiosk, so they're eliminating the people. They're already here in San Francisco. There's a breakfast joint that we order out from during my morning show. And we have an app. We make our order on the app. We pay via PayPal on the app. We walk across the street. We go into the restaurant. And there is a little, little space on the wall where, you know, we know we're order number 35. We go to the little box marked 35, and boom, we're able to enter the code, pull out our meals, and go. We never interface with a person. This is where your Wendy's are going. This is where your McDonald's are going. This is where it's going. That means jobs are lost. Jobs are lost because the minimum wage goes up. And I think the left really likes it when this happens because that means more people will end up going on welfare, which is what they really like because then they've got you lock, stock, and barrel. Now, of course, Obama's out there at Rutgers telling everybody, oh, the economy's just fine. Hillary's saying something different. She's saying, no, she's admitting the economy's not so fine, but she knows how to revitalize things. Put Bill to work. She's going to have Bill Clinton revitalize the economy. Well, he knows something about revitalization, doesn't he? I mean, he's got the little lady that apparently spends a lot of time with him, known as the Energizer. And he knows something about revitalizing his own personal economy because, I don't know, I heard that when they left the White House, they were so broke they couldn't pay all of their mortgages, you know, multiple mortgages. Couldn't afford to send their daughter to one of the most expensive schools in the world, Stanford. So, you know, they were dead broke, according to Hillary. But, man, they've turned that around in no time flat. Now they're worth untold millions, maybe hundreds of millions. Here's Hillary This is an MSNBC clip. Cut 17, please.
My husband, who I'm going to put in charge of revitalizing the economy, because, you know, he knows how to do it, and especially in places like coal country and inner cities and other parts of our country that have really been left out.
You know, the Coleys left Hillary Clinton a long time ago. As soon as you came out with that ridiculous statement about putting them out of work, that was it. You can walk that back all you want. You can say, I've got a $30 billion plan. Yeah, right. You got the $30 billion plan. Well, this is what she said. She said she's the only candidate who has a plan. Well, they're not biting. This is clip 18.
I'm the only candidate who's actually put on the table a plan for coal country. A $30 billion plan, because I don't think we should leave behind the people who have turned on the lights and powered the factories of the United States for a century. We can't and we must not walk away from them. You know, I feel such a sense of obligation, and we're going to, you know, do everything we can to help them, you know, get through this transition.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I'm sure you will. Send them to re-education camps. What are you going to do? These people don't like you. They're not voting for you. And this is another sign that Trump's going to clean your clock in the general election. Clean your clock. Voter enthusiasm's down. People say Trump has his women problem when it comes to the vote, but men he's off the charts with. And by the way, there are a lot of women that don't like Hillary. And what's going to happen to all these Bernie people? These are, a lot of them are young people, never really been engaged before. And you're going to tell them, and Bernie keeps saying the system's rigged. And Hillary gets the nomination. Do you really think they're going to be voting for rigged Hillary? No, they're going to listen to Trump, who says she's crooked Hillary. Mike's at WDRC in Connecticut. Mike, thanks for checking in on the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in. Oh, he just dropped. Well, see, I like hearing from people along the East Coast, Robert, because he was going to talk about how Democrats in Connecticut are having trouble figuring Trump out. But I keep looking at all the polls, and apparently, in large numbers, Democrats are switching parties to vote for him. And even here in otherwise blue California, there are a lot of Democrats who have switched parties because we have a closed... Well, I think all the... it's not true. In this particular state, it's an open primary with exception of the presidential primary, which is closed. So you either have to be a Republican or a Democrat who is, or a you could either be a Democrat, independent, or decline the state and vote for Hillary or Bernie. But to vote for the Republican candidate, you have to be a Republican register as Republican. There are a lot of Democrats in the state, long story made short, who are switching registrations just so they can vote for Trump in California during the June 7th upcoming primary. So this is happening all over the country. And I think Hillary's going to have tremendous problems to the point where she's absolutely going to get crushed by Trump. Now, again, I realize the Republican Party's fractured. Well, isn't it interesting? You now have a Reince Priebus coming around rather quickly. And then you have all of these state GOPs, Republican Party leaders in 11 states holding conventions this past weekend, pressed the anti-Donald Trump members, mostly Cruz supporters, to fall in line. But again, and I love the people who listen to this show and to my show on KSFO in San Francisco, Mike's flagship station. But man, I mean, the hate mail I receive from my own people, you know, the hashtag never Trump crowd. It's like, okay, guys, what do you want? Do you want Hillary? You really think that she'd be better than Donald? Donald Trump has figured out how to do this in terms of win an election. And if you look at this, is folks, we have what we have. You look at his businesses. He does employ best business practices, which means one would hope that he would use those same employment practices when it comes to a cabinet and a staff, etc. Just get the very best people, doesn't care what color they are, what, quote-unquote, gender they are, just brings in the very best. You really think that he would select a more liberal... Hillary Clinton, think of the Supreme Court. Donald Trump, think of the Supreme Court. What do you think is going to happen there? I mean, he's already talked to the party bigwigs about his selections. According to Paul Ryan, seems like they're on the same page there. Maybe I'm missing something. But you did have Republican Party leaders in 11 states this weekend pressing the anti-Donald Trump members, who are very, very passionate and I'm sure incredibly well-meaning, to fall in line behind the presumptive nominee. For example, Nebraska, where members passed a resolution to reprimand Senator Ben Sasse, for his attacks on Donald Trump. So they reprimanded this guy. In Maryland, where veteran Republican committeeman Lewis Pope was replaced by Citizens United chief David Bossie, who the left hates. You mentioned, just find your leftist activist and mention two names. David Bossie, okay, that's the first one, and Floyd Brown. Floyd Brown's a tremendous friend of mine. David Bossie, I know a little bit. Their veins will pop out of their sides of their neck. Okay? Well, David Bossie, ally of Trump. Arkansas, where the national delegation's leadership was packed with Trump allies, giving them influence to reshape the Republican Party rules and policy doctrines at the convention. Nevada, 13 of the 15 statewide delegates are pro-Trump. Kansas, despite Cruz's victory in Kansas, as you remember, the Secretary of State, Chris Kobach, a Trump supporter, was selected to be a delegate. So people are falling in line and realizing what time it is, and the time is this. Never Hillary, hashtag, and hashtag Hillary for prison. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Heather's at WJJF. Now, Heather, thanks for calling Michael Savage's program. We're told there are just no women who like Trump. What's going on here?
Oh, I tend to disagree. I'm a woman, and I'm 100% for Donald Trump. My mother, my aunt, a lot of my female friends, we all support Donald Trump very, very much. We absolutely never in a million years would vote for somebody like Hillary. I don't care if she's a woman. It doesn't make a difference to me. I believe Donald Trump will absolutely make a difference. I believe that he is a businessman, and essentially the country is a business, and he knows how to run it. He has the people behind him and the knowledge, and I feel like he's not afraid to admit if he doesn't know something. He will go out and he will learn or surround himself with people that do know.
There you go. Heather, you have the last word in this segment, and there's more to come in the next because the callers are lining up to get in the last word on this, The Savage Nation. Brian Sussman, proud to be filling in again on this, The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
We've talked about the fundamental transformation of America. Brian Sussman filling in for the good doctor who's back tomorrow. So Chris is checking in from Alabama, WVNN. So Chris, you're saying that this whole transformation, Obama's basically stuck a feather in it because you're saying it's a transformation that began in the 60s, right?
Right. And Barack Obama was raised in the 1960s, as well as myself. You know, and I would have hoped that the president of the U.S. would have delivered a commencement address akin to JFK, Lincoln, Reagan, maybe some Churchill, but that didn't happen. And every one of those kids who graduated at Rutgers, mm-hmm. they're on average 22, 23, and were raised by parents who were raised in the 1960s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And the 1960s assault on American culture has truly yielded a bumper crop of politically correct, sheltered, unexposed kids who, if they couldn't use the words hater, or you're ignorant, or you're a bigot, or you're a racist, couldn't basically respond. And I'm personally tired of their auto responses on social media. That's the repertoire of their responses. And the people that surrounded and influenced a younger Barack Obama must all have a huge continuous smile. What they started in the 1960s is paying huge dividends in 2016. And Hillary, who matured in the 1960s, if she's elected, there may never be a going back, especially with
Chris,
the Supreme Court.
I'm telling you something. Caller of the day, and a great way to end the program. Chris, caller from Alabama, telling it like it is here on The Savage Nation. Don't forget to go to michaelsavage.com. The new newsletter has just been posted. Also, this meme, it's hilarious. There's Barack Obama. Took 223 years to build this nation, and you let me, a Muslim, destroy you from within in less than 8 years. I use your laws to hide behind, your immoral minority betray you, and your 38 million minorities to divide you. And you simply let me do it while I played golf. What a meme. And you can see it for yourself at The Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in. Always a pleasure, always an honor on The Savage Nation.